No, sporočil bi bilo v tem primeru več. Načela demokracije je to zagotovo dokaz. Skratka, to je za nas slabo.
You have called before you 13 members of this parliament to face disciplinary action.
A los valores que compartimos todos los europeos.
When we became members in 1995, we were told that vodka will have a tight definition, just like rum, just like whiskey.
Io ho detto con ironia.
Oddaje EP Interaktivno podpira Evropski parlament. Projekt poteka pod vodstvom Radia Študent. Aktualne debate. Minimalni dohodek v Evropskem parlamentu. Med brušenjem parketa Evropskega parlamenta in njega hodnikov v Štrasburu nam je na uho prišlo, da se ima prihodnji teden sestati odbor za zaposlovanje in socialne zadeve. Na dnevnem redu se je znašla točka o minimalnem dohodku kot ključu za boj proti revščini ter socialno vključenost. Evropski parlament se je zganil v smer socialne vključenosti prav zaradi leta boja proti revščini. O minimalnem dohodku na ravni Evropske unije smo se v Evropskem parlamentu pogovarjali s Provinciasom de Rosso, članom skupine naprednega zavezništva socialistov in demokratov v Evropskem parlamentu, ter Frankom Engelom, članom predsedstva poslanske skupine Evropske ljudske stranke in krščanskih demokratov. Kljub vsem zadevam, ki jih upravlja pristojni odbor, pa nas je najprej zanimalo, kako je parlamentarcu iz Irske de Rossi uspelo priti v Štrasbur.
Oh, I got here quite easily because I was in Brussels over the weekend because I couldn't get back to Dublin. So I was able to get on a train and come straight here from Brussels. So I had no great difficulty. My difficulty will be in getting home to Dublin today, tomorrow. I'm not sure I will manage it. I hope I will, but because I haven't been home now for 2 weeks because of the dust cloud from the volcano in Iceland.
O čem na odboru pravzaprav teče debata, ko se govori o minimalnem dohodku? Na to vprašanje odgovarja de Rossa.
The debate is about the need for to guarantee a certain level of support for citizens in Europe, which ensures that they do not fall into poverty. The idea is not necessarily a minimum wage, because oftentimes people confuse us with the idea of a minimum wage. There are lots and lots of people who, for various reasons, cannot work, either because they cannot get work or because they have disabilities which prevent them, or illness, or need they're too young or too old, and they need an income which is sufficient to enable them to live a decent life. So the idea of a minimum income across the European Union, not necessarily the same level in every member state, because it would depend on the cost of living in each member state, but there would be a guaranteed minimum.
Kljub opozorilom o mešanju pojmov, kot so minimalna plača ter minimalni dohodek, pa nekaterim še vedno ni jasno, da gre očitno za dva ne povsem ista pojma.
No, I can't, because I would not dare to interfere in Greek or Swedish or any sort of national reflection processes on this, where there are minimum wages, it is clear where they have been established. I know where ours is. I know that many of the people who are earning a minimum wage in Luxembourg consider this to be pretty tough to get by with. I know that living conditions in Luxembourg, notably in terms of housing, are such that if you have to live on a minimum wage, house yourself halfway decently, maybe even have dependent persons in one or the other form that you have to take care of, have to transport yourself, have to feed and clothe yourself, you are not living in big luxury. But then again, a minimum income is not meant to induce luxury, but decent life. And therefore, decent life can probably be organized. I was told, to my surprise, for instance, by Lithuanian friends and colleagues, that with something like 600-700 euros, survival in Lithuania is not only possible, that I knew, but even halfway comfortable, even in the capital city. From what I know about that capital city, was not aware that that you could so easily get by with an amount of that level. Oh well. And so therefore, this has to be assessed against the measuring instruments that exist in terms of poverty, in terms of decent income, in terms of median incomes, and all sorts of reference instruments that there are.
Da je debata pestra, nam potrjuje tudi Frank. Poslušajmo, kaj meni v globalnem o razlikah na ravni držav.
There are countries that have it and there are countries that don't. And those that don't seem to believe that subsidiarity has to be perceived in such a way as to prevent any sort of harmonized, unified or common approach towards minimum income. Mm-hmm. It has always been our position as a party in Luxembourg, and also we've been trying to promote this on the European level, that some sort of minimum income should become mandatory across the union. Of course, not the same amount for everyone, no matter where they live, mm-hmm. which would be unsensible and indecent. But at the same time, it is possible without major trouble to assess where a decent wage starts, anywhere between Estonia and Portugal and Ireland and Greece, mm-hmm. and therefore the principle of having minimum wages across the board could easily be established. But as I said, the opposition to that is not about to vanish yet.
Kako se minimalni dohodek vklopi v nacionalne realnosti? Na vprašanje odgovarja De Rosa.
Well, the first answer I'd give you is that like Greece and Ireland and most other European Union countries are finding the resources to put into banks, to mm-hmm. save the banks, to keep them afloat. Mm-hmm. If they can find the resources to keep the banks afloat, they can find the resources to keep the people afloat. It's not acceptable that banks are more important than the people of our society. The amount of money that will be required to maintain a minimum level of income for those who are without work at the moment would be a lot less than the billions we are pumping into the banks and paying speculators in the United States and elsewhere huge sums of interest in order to get that those loans. So it's not a question of one or the other. The other point I would make to you is that ensuring that people have money in their pocket to pay their rent, to buy their food, to keep their car on the road, etc., etc., keep their children in school, keep shoes on their children's feet, and so on, mm-hmm. keeps the economy turning over. Mm-hmm. You know, if we deprive people of income, then there is no money circulating in the economy, and the economy will continue to be in recession. Mm-hmm. We need to prime the economy by helping people to get back into work, by supporting companies that are in trouble so that they can maintain jobs, so that money continues to circulate and taxes paid and so on and so forth. This is the classical Keynesian approach to a recession. Ireland and other countries are being driven by the banks and by others to deflate the economy at a time when we should be reflating it.
Ker smo že načeli vprašanje o tem, kako se je lahko denar tako hitro našel za banke, za ljudi pa se znajde le stežka, smo o tem povprašali poslanca Luksemburga, Engela Franka.
It is very easy to say that that money has been easily found. I contest that. It has not at all been easily found. It has been found at the price of potential bankruptcy of the whole continent and others for generations to come. So therefore, the big bang that we had in the financial world and around it over the last 2 years is going to have lasting effects. And it was fundamentally wrong to go so far as we did with saving everybody the way we did. Especially in the long run. On the other hand, having a complete banking sector meltdown is not going to be beneficial to anyone. Also not the so-called small people, especially not the so-called small people. Those that can save what they have are always at an advantage when the institutions are weak with respect to those that cannot save what they have, either because they don't have anything or because what they have is in a place where they, due to their position, cannot reach it. So this is about as stupid a debate as one that would say everybody is entitled to a lump sum of 5,000 euros a month and we'll all be happy for it. And if we don't manage to get the money legally, we'll just print it. We can do that, of course, but that always reminds me of Idi Amin, who in Uganda one day decided that inflation was a problem. And you know what solution he found? He assembled his parliament and made them vote a law declaring inflation illegal. Did that solve the problem? I don't believe so. And he did find out later on that it did not solve his problem. Well, did he find out that it doesn't? Now, the point is, saving a financial system and the economic structure that it sustains is one thing. Handing out money to all sorts of people is another thing. I'm in favor of minimum wages, always have been. But I want this to be a process that takes into account that first of all a wage is earned against work, so therefore somebody has to have work. What do we do with Lithuania now with 20 or 25% official unemployment? Do we declare that in the unusual circumstances those unemployed whose earnings are potentially extremely low at the present time would also have to be supplemented by a minimum income, if not wage, scheme? Or do we decide that we remain on the work level? I'm in favor of remaining on the work level. The rest is social benefits. So it is just not possible to say the money has been found for the big ones, now it has to be found for the small ones. On the contrary, I tell you that I'm all in favor of seeing to it that we now go after the big ones in order to make them pay for their own mistakes that have so far been paid by the taxpayer at the expense of coming generations, which is not a thought that I particularly cherish.
Na dokaj neoliberalne poglede predstavnika krščanskih demokratov irski laburist odgovarja.
Because of ideology, it's we live in a world that is driven by an ideology which fundamentally says that the market will solve all the problems, and that if you leave the market alone, it will solve the problem. And even though we have seen the world market, the world banking system melt down, there are still those in government who maintain this approach. So they must. Their view is that we must borrow to keep the banks going, but the economy as a whole must survive on its own. Putting it crudely. Now, in some member states, like in Ireland and Britain and elsewhere, we already have a reasonably well developed social security system, health service, and so on. And the battle now is to maintain those because governments are cutting them. They're cutting the supports of people rather than maintaining them. By cutting them, they're going to destroy not only the capacity of the economy to recover, but they're going to destroy the lives of millions of people.
Svoje stališče glede minimalnega dohodka Frank vendar radikalizira ter hkrati okrca še tiste krive za krizo.
In short of harmonizing all the systems that we have in the union on the Luxembourgish level, which would be unfinanceable, stupid and impossible, the countries will have to come to their own terms in this respect. There is only one thing that I fundamentally believe, and that is that in the long run, it will be unsustainable socially to make people go home with 500 euros in a context where they need 1,000. That is not going to be sustainable in the long run. If I look at the Hartz IV millions in Germany, these are people that sooner or later will be so marginalized that social tensions could come to dangerous dimensions. And I'm absolutely in favor of addressing that. The only problem is that we'll have to find a way of addressing it. We've not been able even so far, which I find ridiculous, to prevent the very same people who brought the world to the brink of collapse a year and a half ago from pocketing absolutely fabulous sums of money again in the latter reaches of last year and in the early stages of this. I'm in favor of going after them, but we'll have to give ourselves the means of doing that. But if we do that, that can help us consolidate public finances. It does not yet give every single individual who doesn't earn enough the money that they need or think they need to live a decent life.
Kaj kot ključno vprašanje za človeka vredno življenje vidi De Rosa?
Well, arguably, I mean, obviously we have to take into account the fact that there are some states like the UK, for instance, which has a completely nationalized health service, which in my view is very, very good. We have a mix of nationalized versus and plus privatized health service in Ireland. In some states, you have largely a privatized health service. The key issue is, to what extent does the state support people who cannot afford to go out and buy health service. I think there has to be a guarantee that those who, whether it's a national health service or a privatized health service, that those that pay people get a minimum of health service, access to a GP, access to a general practitioner for themselves, but especially for their children, have access to hospital when they need to access a hospital. Those basic kind of health services need to be available free or relatively free of charge in terms of access and so on, so that people are not precluded from health services simply because they don't have the money. Whether that service itself is delivered by a private company or by a state company is in many respects irrelevant. It's a question of the policy of the government. How are they going to ensure that their population has access to health service?
O preigravanju možnosti za boljši jutri na podlagi minimalnega dohodka ali brez, ter o šalah in kapah Američanov na račun Evropejcev, Frank.
That the Americans are now making fun of an idea that has cropped up, especially in Europe, which is called social tourism. Whereby we apparently want to promote the right of every individual to travel to foreign countries on, well, holiday missions, essentially. And I tell you that this is also an approach that in the long run is not sustainable. Or it might be. But then we could just as well accept right from the outset that we'll organize ourselves in the Soviet way, because there you had social tourism, but at the end of the day we know where the social tourism led to, so it might not be the solution after. So the solution has to be based on a certain approach of a market economy. We always called that the social market economy. You can now call it, as we do in some parts of Europe, the social and environmentally sustainable market economy, whatever. Social is already not so bad. And then there is Margaret Thatcher's rebuttal from the good old days, who always said she believed in a market economy without adjectives. Now, everything is in the adjective. I don't really believe there are very many people around who would be against the notion of market economy in principle. But after that looms the question of the ways and means to redistribute. And of course, if you want to redistribute, first of all, things have to be gained, profits have to be made, and they have to be administered. And then the whole question is there an objective limit to how much an entity or an individual or a group of individuals is entitled to siphon off? Or is there no such limit? I noticed, for instance, that the Japanese economy, which is not, as far as I know, a communist economy, has a corporate earnings structure where the topmost executive of any given company does not really earn much more than, say, 25 to 30 times of what the lowest earning cooperator or collaborator of that very same company earns. In the United States, to those 25 or 30, you can add two zeros, and in Europe, you can easily add one. Now, this is a spread, of course, that is extreme. Why do the ones manage to organize a system where the spread is sizable, but still in some way reasonable? And the others believe that there is that the sky is the limit.
Kdo naj torej postavi meje, da ne bo meja? Kaj storiti, da Zemlja postane perfektni prostor? Poslušajmo odgovor luksemburškega poslanca Evropskega parlamenta.
I believe we'll have substantial difficulties in establishing anyway in a geographical meaningful way. Because if we did this in the European Union and the Chinese and the Americans were laughing their heads off, we're not getting very far. But no matter how, the first step would be to establish such a limit. So far, there is absolutely no agreement that there should be one. There is not even an agreement on a 90% taxation of executive bonuses also, which to my mind would be the very first point on which every reasonable human being should be able to agree. But of course, there are the practical difficulties of implementing it. But at the same time, the other issue, the spread, is something that is extremely difficult to assess as long as there are vast ideological differences in the approach to the subject. I have always tried to ask myself the question, how much more than I can somebody work? How much more than I can somebody produce? And how much more intelligent than I can somebody be for them to earn 700 times as much as I do? I know that I'm modestly intelligent. I know that I can read and write. I know that I work 60 to 80 hours a week, and I don't really believe that it's possible to work 800 hours a week, leave alone 8,000. So, from a reasonable perspective, one should be able to say, well, there is a certain output that you can have, and then there is a certain number of things that you can believe that you have to be able to buy, and beyond that, there's no need. But who's going to establish that? It is probably a philosophical debate that we're going to have at some point. And after the philosophical stage, the debate might well filter down into more practical reaches. But we're not there yet. If in this house you come across a conservative or a liberal colleague and you tell them that there should be limits on the level of your earning, they'll probably tell you that you're a weird communist and that this idea has failed. I don't consider that to be so, but I do consider that there are extreme difficulties in establishing this. The one thing I know is this. If, as we have to suppose, 4,000 billion, either euros or dollars, no matter what the exchange rate, it doesn't really make a huge difference. 4,000 billion of these were destroyed during the last 2 years in the crisis. And if the world is still alive, we might have a volcano that is now spitting out some ash, but that volcano would have done that anyway. And we had an earthquake in Haiti, but that earthquake would have happened anyway. And we had a cold winter now, that would probably also have happened anyway. It's good for winter tourism, exactly. As a Slovene, you know. But the point simply is, if we had taken the 4,000 by conscious political decision and said, well, apparently you can siphon off 4,000 billion from public and private accounts and redistribute them so that the world is going to become a perfect place, they would probably have been enough to make the world a perfect place. But of course, in order to make the world a perfect place, they've never been available. And if they were, it would be highly doubtful if they would end up in exactly the places and in exactly the way that they would have to end up so as to really make the world a perfect place. The only near philosophical lesson that I deduce from the sum of money destroyed over the last 2 years and the relative normalcy with which the world still seems to function is that there obviously have been enormous amounts of funds theoretically available to improve the lot of quite a number of people. They have not been used for that. And we will have to ask ourselves the question for the future, if it is not time to start doing that. Not in those amounts, of course, because parts of those amounts are the state sovereign debts of today at the levels that we know, unsustainable as hell. But take half of this, or a quarter of this, take $1,000 billion and throw it into the UN system and say, now you have money for everything. Things could be improved. They don't have to. We've given, what, $500 billion or so to Africa in terms of aid over the last 50 years since the independences. The average life level, so to speak, of Africa is lower than it was 50 years ago.
Medtem ko smo situacijo primerjali s tisto v Afriki, nas na koncu zanima, kakšna je situacija na Irskem. Provincias de Rosa je namreč opravljal funkcijo ministra za socialne zadeve. V tem času je bil tudi predsednik demokratične levice. Povprašali smo ga, kakšna je bila situacija na Irskem tedaj ter kje je Irska danes.
Well, the main difference then was that the government that I was a part of at that time in the mid-90s was in the process of pulling Ireland out of a very bad unemployment situation. When I left government, there was 1,000 new jobs per week being created, so that the level of unemployment benefit was being paid out, was decreasing, and we were able to use that to increase child benefit for all the children in the state, and so on. So there was a much different environment then. We were actually driving the economy far forward based on real work and based on real enterprise. Unfortunately, we lost office, and the next government that came in created a property bubble, which has essentially destroyed the capacity of the state to pay for health services out of its own resources, out of taxes and so on, pay for welfare. And so it has to borrow to pay for welfare and pay for health services. But I argue that it's essential that we continue to do that, in order to ensure that we have a healthy population, an educated population, a population that is willing and able to take up work as it's being created. So it's a completely different job task that has to be done now to the one that we were doing back in the mid-90s.
Samo za vas je mikrofon pod evropske nosove poslancev molil Franci I.
No, sporočil bi bilo v tem primeru več. Z načela demokracije je to zagotovo dokaz. Skratka, to je za nas slabo.
You have called before you 13 members of this parliament to face disciplinary action.
A los valores que compartimos todos los europeos.
When we became members in 1995, we were told that vodka will have a tight definition, just like rum, just like whiskey.
Io ho detto con ironia.
Oddaje EP interaktivno podpira Evropski parlament. Projekt poteka pod vodstvom Radija Študent.